All right, we greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's a blessing to be here with you again today. It's been a blessing to be here this morning. Just the things that were said and the thoughts that were shared, the songs that we sang, just been a real blessing. Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 13. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness, your mercy. Lord, we just look to you this morning, Father, for all that we need, Father. Lord, we ask you to fill us with your Spirit. Lord, that you'd give us wisdom, Father, as we open your words. We thank you for all that you do, Lord. We pray for those that can't be here. We pray for Connie, especially, Lord, that you'd touch her. Lord, pray for the brethren around the world, wherever men are gathered together, Father, to lift up your name. We just thank you, Father, again, for all that you do. Help us be faithful in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, it's Romans chapter 13. I think we'll begin in verse 5. Read the whole chapter, but therefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. I think this is just telling us, sometimes we kind of have the thought that we're on our own and we don't have to listen to anybody, but this verse kind of lays it out here about government, those in authority over us, those around us, that we are to respect them and to owe them nothing, to submit ourselves to them in times. And I want to, that's just kind of laying the groundwork here of what I want to talk about this morning. You know, we sang the song about the three Hebrew children that were thrown into the fire. And, you know, the song implied, you know, that if you read the story, you see that the king actually thought a lot of these boys. These men and the people that were around them, they were the best people around. And you know, whenever we think about them and being martyrs, they were, it wasn't that they were trying to be martyrs or trying to be hated because of their religion. They were the cream of the crop. These were good boys, good men. And they weren't trying to stand out as being super religious or super holy or anything. They were just good people. And it wasn't until the image was created and they were told to bow before it, and that went against what they could do. You know, they were, they were in servanthood, they were forced to do a lot of things that they wouldn't really normally do, but then it came to a place where they had to bow before another idol. And You know, they would not bend. They would not bow. They were very strong and firm. You know, a lot of times we get the idea that, you know, being religious, just finding some cause and then just not bowing or bending at all to it. But this wasn't what they did. They were representing their God, living their life, doing what they were supposed to do, and being, in general, just good, godly young men. You know, they were very devoted and devout, not just to the religion, but to all humanity. And they were thrown in the furnace, not because they were just stubborn religious people, but they were thrown in because they were good people and had probably started somebody's envy somewhere, and they wanted to get rid of it. We read about Daniel in the lion's den. You know, if you read the story of Daniel, the king loved Daniel. The people around him loved Daniel. But there were some people with envy and ambition that hated Daniel, and they plotted to write laws just to try to get him in trouble. And they wrote the law and said that everyone that prayed to any other god, they knew that that's what would get him. And he wasn't going to bend, or he wasn't going to bow. But it wasn't because he was just some strict religious person. I mean, if you look at his life, he loved the people around him. He loved to do what was right. He loved to do good. And he did it. And it made people jealous and envious. And so they had to figure out a way to attack him. And they did. And that's why he was killed. And the point I want to try to bring out this morning is, you know, we're not trying to be just super religious people. That's not the goal. It's been brought out this morning, you know, that we make our choices. What I want to instill or teach you to be is to be people who love God and love their neighbor as yourself. That's what this verse is talking about. Over in Matthew, before we go there, I want to, verse 13, I just want to read over this, or chapter 13, just want to read this over again. It says, "Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law." Then in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "You have heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not commit murder, and whosoever commits murder shall be liable in the court.' But I say unto you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whosoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whosoever says, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell." You know, he's talking here to religious people that are more of an attitude. You know, he said, you know, it's the old law says don't commit murder, and whoever commits murder will be guilty. But Jesus expands on that, and he talks about, "But I say unto you that everyone who's angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court." You know, this is someone who's like the men who plotted against Daniel and the three Hebrew children. This is someone who's envious. They hate their brother. He goes on and says, and whosoever shall say, you know, you're good for nothing. This is a religious person looking down on somebody that is not as religious as they are. This is a spirit. This is an attitude of murder. It's not just a, you know, that this is the context that this is all in. Jesus said, you shall not commit murder. But I say unto you, that if you have these same thoughts and these same ideas, you know, you might not even want to see them killed or put to death. But you just despise them and think so little of them that you're just as guilty as someone that would be a murderer. Probably the only reason you wouldn't just go out and murder someone is because you'd be afraid of getting in trouble. But that heart is there. That spirit's there. And this is, like I said, this is talking to people who are very religious. But I say unto you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whosoever says to his brother, you're good for nothing, you shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. I've just thought of this before. A lot of times we have the attitude, you know, that we're doing pretty well. And it's so easy for us to look out at others and be critical and hard on them. I've said it before. I remember, or just saying it before, you know, God, the song was saying about how it was being brought up and taught the right way. You know, who or what did you have to do with the way you were brought up? I mean, did you just win the spiritual lottery and happen to be brought up in a Christian home? You know, and I just think what, this is where grace comes in, you know, that it's by the grace of God that, what if you'd have been brought up in Africa somewhere, taught to have a shrunk, you know, shrunken heads and dance around things in the middle of the night, you know, just, what makes us so special? What, you know, there's all over the world, there's people that are just brought up in a religion and they're just formed into that religion. But what makes the difference? And I think you see that in Daniel and the three Hebrew children. These people loved humanity. They weren't religious and critical of someone not measuring up to where we are. You know, somebody fails a little bit and we start thinking, you know, well, God must be judging them. Must be, you know, that must be a judgment. That is a heart of someone that's critical. And it's the root of that is that there's a superiority there. That comes, the root of that is right in here. You know, sometimes we see people and we deal with people. And I think God leaves them right where they are, right with us. That we have to, you know, we just wish that they would be easier to get along with, that they'd be easier to deal with, that they'd be, you know, nicer to us or whatever, or just we wouldn't have a problem with them. But I think a lot of times God's just trying to work on us to make us something a little better. But we're pretty quick to be critical. Because we don't like problems in our life. We don't like issues to deal with. And I think, you know, I've just thought often, you know, some of the issues that people deal with. And I have a hard time dealing with the person that has the issue, maybe. But what if I had to deal with the same issue they had to deal with? Where would I be then? That is what God is wanting us to make these our choices about. That we look beyond ourselves, that we quit thinking so high of ourselves, that we're so important, that the whole world revolves around us, And that we begin to look at humans, other humans, as part of God's creation, and they have issues and problems and things just like everybody else does. That's whenever we talk about loving our neighbor as ourselves. That's what he's talking about. You know, it's easy to do the little religious things, but to actually be a person that just wants to do what's right. He's not worried about all the ins and outs, no doing, you know, all the little technicalities. And like I said, whenever it talks about government and obeying government, I don't believe it's go get a law book, a Missouri law book, and just make sure you keep all the rules. He's saying, you be a godly, you be a person that the mayor or the governor or anybody that you would be around or anybody in authority would be a respectable, decent person. That you would be an example of a good citizen. And I think that's what Daniel and the three Hebrew children were. They were just good men. But some hypocrites and some phonies that thought they were good men or thought themselves were good men were just put to complete shame by these just simple good men. Just godly men. Weren't trying to put on airs about being religious or better than anybody. They saw a need, they just did it. They took care of things that were right in front of them. You know, that's one thing. Look around you. There's a whole world of people and opportunities right in front of us. The people we walk by every day and that we see every day that might have a need that we can help. Just go visit somebody. Just do something. It's all around us, but we get so caught up in our own little lives and our own little world that we just seal everybody out. And as long as they don't bother me, I won't bother them. And that's what we think of as love your neighbor. I just won't bother them. This attitude that he's talking about. It's easy to put a cloak of religion over that attitude. And it looks pretty good, but Jesus cut right to the heart of it. And said, there's no difference in that than being a murderer. That just makes us cringe, you know, to someone would call us a murderer. That's why Jesus was crucified. It wasn't because he was just out there trying to stir up things. He just was a godly man. And he just spoke to the heart of people. And some loved it and some hated it. And that's why he was crucified. Being a part of the Spirit of God, we've said it before, having God's Spirit, having the Holy Spirit, you know, having the Spirit of God is simply having the Spirit of God. He loved people. He loved God. He created us. He just wants us to be like Him. Not in a strict religious sort of fashion, but He loves His creation. Just think of the story of one of the evangelists. Don't even remember who it was. Charles Spurgeon, maybe. Someone was talking about, they were walking down the street and someone pointed out a drunk and was almost laughing at him. And the man said, "But for the grace of God, there I go." In other words, I could have been that very person that we would look at and laugh at and mock. But if it wasn't for the grace of God, there I go. And it's so hard for us to you know, we get our little shell made and we get our little religious thing down, you know. Oh, I got to say a Bible verse today, or I've got to say my little thing today, or I've got to do this today, or got to go to church today. We get all that down. It's pretty easy to just look around us and kind of look at them people, how they act, you know. And I think that's what Jesus is speaking to. It's not because you call somebody an idiot, because there's people that do things that are stupid. You know, a lot of times we feel bad. Oh, I shouldn't say that, because, you know, that's... The problem is there's people that do things like that. And, you know, there's a time for just saying, that was a dumb thing to do. That was a foolish thing to do. But it's the attitude we have towards those things. We look around and say everybody's doing dumb things, you know, and we get this attitude that we're so smart. Therefore, verse 23, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. The point he's making here is that our religion is no higher than what we've done to how we treat our brothers. And, you know, there's a lot of people that would look at this and say, well, you know, somebody said something about you, and or somebody did something like this, and that's not what he's talking about here. This is something that if you've actually done wrong, if you've done somebody wrong, this is not because they got offended at what you said, and so you got to go fix every little thing. We can't... Jesus says, make peace where you can. It doesn't mean we have to just get along with everybody and just got to bend over backwards to make sure everybody's happy with us. That's what the world is doing with all this woke and all this these movements, and everybody gets offended over everything, so everybody's got to go around apologizing because, oh, I'm sorry, I'm white because something happened a long time ago. That's not what he's talking about, but that's where that leads if we follow that. What he's talking about is you being a godly person and you do something stupid and you hurt somebody. I mean, you just do something and you make a choice and you do something wrong. And then you just come to church and don't think nothing about it. It's just, oh, it's good. You know, I said, you know. But you've done somebody wrong somewhere along the line. And there actually have been wrong. You broke something. You did something wrong to somebody. There's an actual offense that you've committed. You know, we think about bringing your gift to the altar. Here, you know, a lot of times they were having to kill something to bring it to the altar. It was a serious thing. They've put all this time into bringing your gift to the altar. And you get to the altar and you get ready to offer this gift, and all of a sudden you remember, oh, I said I was going to go do something. I was going to take care of something. I did that person wrong, and I'm lacking. I owe them something. That's the verse we talked about, is owe no man anything. That this is where this falls into. It's not just about money, but you owe somebody something. He said, leave your gift right there, because it is just exactly worth nothing. All of your religion, all of this is absolutely worth nothing. Because your religion is no higher than how you treat your neighbor. It's no higher than how you treat your brother. And if you've done somebody wrong, you know, one of the things about repentance, you know, whenever I first was converted, I don't know how many people I went had to go back and talk to and say, listen, I did wrong. I did you wrong. Most of them just laugh at you, you know, but there's times that you go back and they really thank you for it. But that's what repentance is not just quit doing something. Repentance is a change of your attitude, a change of your heart, to where the guilt of doing something wrong just hits you full in the face, and you just say, I've got to go fix that. And there's not everything can be fixed, and there's a lot of things just, you know, you just don't, that I'm not saying you just got to go back and write every little bitty thing. The men that Jesus, you know, the tax collector, he said, if I've taken anything, I'm going to restore it twofold. It was the attitude of just wanting to go back and fix things. The heart of it is I now have a concern for other people around me. And I'm going to live my life that I don't want to owe anybody anything. You know, my granddad, you know, you couldn't hardly give him anything. He just wouldn't take it. Because he didn't want anybody, he didn't want to be obliged to anyone. And the attitude there, you know, I may have been just pride, could have been, I don't know. But then that it happens that way. But the reality is you just don't want to owe anybody anything. And it's just hard to take a gift from someone. And it gets to the point where, you know, people that actually need it find it hard to take. And I remember one time somebody said, they offered me some help one time, and I didn't want to take it. And he said, why would you deny the opportunity for them to give? I mean, people are wanting to help. Let them do it. You'd be glad to help someone. So there's nothing wrong in taking help when you need it. And that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about seeing people that we, and not owing them any, not being a burden to them. And like I said, there's being unhealthy or being sick or being having in a real need is not a burden. We shouldn't feel that way. What I'm talking about is treating other people's the way you would want them to treat you. Treating their stuff the way you would want them to treat you. Or you treat yours. Not just in a legal sense, but being the very heart of being aware of other people around you. And just, you know, if you borrow something from somebody, take it back better than you borrowed it. You've heard stories of people that borrow something and then bring it back broke. You know, it's just, you don't like stuff like that. Nobody would. But if you take it back, and I appreciate, you know, a lot of times people will borrow a vehicle and it comes back and it's got a full tank of gas and it's all cleaned out. It's just, it's that attitude of just somebody appreciating a little bit of help once in a while. just having the spirit of loving your neighbor as yourself, just having the spirit of, like this verse says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. This verse in Matthew says, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled with your brother, and then come and present your offering. And like I said, this is not something that you just said something and offended them. You know, unless it was just something you said to offend them, then there's a problem. This is something, it's come to your knowledge that I actually failed my brother. I didn't do what he expected. I've disappointed him because I didn't do what I'm capable of doing. And it says, make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you're with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge and the judge to the officer and being thrown into prison. You know, this is, you know, if someone comes to you and shares something with you that's real, you listen to them. And if they have a complaint and take it to the law, they have every right to do that in a legal sense, not in a spiritual sense. I mean, we forgive, but we don't want to get it to that. But here's, make it right quick, because it just builds and grows and grows. That they may not hand you over to the judge and the judge to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Truly, I say unto you, you will not come out until you have paid the last cent. Anyway, the heart of the matter is having the Spirit of God. And I think that's what is portrayed. You look at all the people in the Bible, or most of them that were martyred, or wasn't, they were trying to be martyred by just being in people's face and being aggravating or being a nuisance to people. They were good people, and their goodness stirred the ire or the envy or the jealousy of people who professed to be good. And they found a way to persecute them. Owe nothing to any man. You be that person that you don't want to have others waiting on you or causing, you know, being a burden. You know, it's our time, people having to wait on you all the time. Do you like waiting on someone? I mean, just make this real to you, not just, oh, this is a new rule I've got to start living by. Be aware of other people. That's what it means to love your neighbor. It's not just a new rule we tick off. It's be aware of those people around you. The world does not revolve around you. You know, like I said, there's times whenever we do need help, and some, you know, and sometimes we do have to wait on other people because of their problems. But just remember ourselves and remember other people around us. Anyway, owe no man anything. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
Sometimes. what just lived for everybody else, what about me? But it turns around, God turns it around, takes care of us if we don't worry about ourselves. And I want the boys for their assignment to get something from the message for next Sunday.
Okay. Thanks, Lord. All right. All right, well, Lord bless you all. I guess we'll meet back here at 6 o'clock. Being together. Anything else? All right, well, God bless you all. Depart in peace. God be with you until we meet again.